The Senate will please come to order. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Roll call for Thursday, February 16th. Agar, excused. Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Dalton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bouchard?
Here.
I'm sorry, Boner?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Ellis?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Moniz?
Here.
Nethercott?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Excused.
Peterson?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Platern?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Here.
President Bebout?
Here.
28 present, 2 excused.
The prayer this morning will be by the Reverend Rick Bite. Would you please all stand?
It has been a pleasure to serve with you all this week. Today I offer you a collect for state government. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send down upon those who hold office in this state, especially the members of the Senate. We also especially thank you for past presidents of the Senate. Send down upon them the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose they may faithfully serve in their offices to promote the well-being of all people. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Here, just a second. Members of the Senate and certainly the past presidents of the Senate, Rick's been with us all week. He's provided us with some inspirational prayers, and we're really pleased that you were able to spend the time with us, and we have a small token for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I appreciate it.
Let's give him a hand. You know, members of the Senate, as I look in that back row, I see an incredible group of people. And what I'm going to do, and since when you're in the chair, and I learned from watching a lot of you, I can do whatever I want when I'm up here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to further the roll call of the Senate. And when you hear your name, if you'd please respond appropriately, I'd like to have that put in that we're going to call their roll. So I'll do it from here if it's all right with you, Madam Chief Clerk. When I call your name, just however you used to be, respond when you're in the Senate, I'd appreciate it. Turner. True.
Here.
April Bremer Koontz.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Twyford.
Here.
Zimmer.
Here.
And Coe.
Here.
We really don't have any set agenda, but what I think I might do is just introduce each one of you, and if you'd like to introduce your favorite, I do have a script. I'm sorry. My chief clerk knows that I wander once in a while, so here we go. Members of the Senate, today we're joined in the chamber by some very special guests. Us are 9 former Wyoming Senate presidents going back over 30 years, and what we did, members of the Senate, we were getting a cumulative count of all of the experience between the speakers and the presidents in our gathering this morning, and I believe it was over 350 years of public service to the great state of Wyoming. How about that, members of the Senate? Isn't that incredible? If you'd please stand when I introduce you, we'd appreciate it. And if any of you feel the urge to say something, I'm going to allow you that latitude. Senator Jerry Geis represented Bighorn, Fremont, Hot Springs, Park, and Washakie counties and served as president in 1985 and 1986. Senator Geis. Get a mic, Jerry, would you please? You bet. You have privilege of the floor.
See, the staff's taking care of us, and thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. Amen.
Thank you. Senator John Turner represented Sublette and Teton counties and presided as Senate President in 1987 and 1988. Senator Turner.
Well, good morning, and what a humbling honor it is to join you all. It was what an honor to serve in this body, and I thank the people of North Lincoln, Sublette, and Teton County for those 19 years, and I salute all of you for the service you give us today, the time away from home, the time away from family, time away from things that are probably a lot more fun. So thank you all for this great experience to gather with former colleagues, some real giants that helped form laws and programs that Wyoming enjoys today. Good luck with your work. Thank you.
And, Senator, there's someone sitting next to you that probably is about 95% of responsible for the kind of life you've led. Would you please introduce her?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank my partner through 35 years of public service, my best critic, Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, good to have you here.
We came here in 1970, and the drive yesterday, that 400 miles, brought back a lot of great memories.
Senator Russell Zimmer represented Goshen and Niobrara counties and served as Senate President in 1989 and 1990, and he also has a story about a truck that I keep hearing about. Mr. President, the floor is yours.
Is this on?
Oh, yeah. It's on.
Mr. Speaker and members of the Senate, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your thoughtfulness to bring us here tonight, today. The House and the Senate is a great organization, serves the state of Wyoming just wonderful. And I live next to Nebraska, and I see the legislators. They have a unicameral there, and they spend a lot of time and a lot of money trying to operate as good or not as good as we do. So the shortness of the term is great. The people are great. You get the job done. You don't hassle around. And I had the privilege of visiting every capital in the United States, all 50 of them, Hawaii and Alaska. And I come back to Wyoming and feeling real great that I know that you're doing a great job, and the state of Wyoming is something that I love and have loved ever since I've lived here. And I just want to really, really thank you for remembering us. We're old fogies. We've been there. We've done that. We don't need to do any more. You've got better ideas, and we appreciate what you do, and thank you very much for remembering us.
Thank you. I'll share a quick story with the members of the Senate. When I was a freshman, I had this really important little bill, and Senator Zimmer was the majority floor leader, and I went over to his office, and, of course, he had his desk was way up on top of a pedestal, and he had me sitting on a little chair, and he said, "Is this bill really that important?" And I believe that you might have let it get to the floor, Senator Zimmer, but thank you for your service. Senator Deemer True represented Natrona County and presided as president in 1991 and 1992. Senator True.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You want to step up to Mike Deemer, please?
I'm glad to. I won't repeat what Senator Turner and Senator Zimmer and President Turner and Zimmer said, because I want to echo their comments. But I just want you to know I served as President Turner's vice president and Senator Zimmer's majority leader, and I was 6'8 when I started. They whooped me down to size, I want you to know. Anyway, appreciate the day. It's so good to see so many old friends again. And then a special thank you for starting with prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. We can't lose that in Wyoming, because the old saying is, Wyoming is what America wants to be, and so preserve that as insofar as you can. And then let me introduce Susie. This year we celebrate 50 years of marriage. So, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Senator Jim Twyford represented Converse and Platte counties and served as Senate President in 1999 and 2000. Jim, let me get the mic for you. In fact, why don't you just sit right in that chair? You could take over for me and do a better job than I'm doing.
Well, that's what I thought.
Okay.
I don't know if this is on or not.
It's on.
Can't hear myself.
No, this one's on.
Well, that one's okay.
There you go.
Thank you. It is, like all the previous presidents have said, a great honor to be here, and I think this was a fantastic idea. People that I haven't met, heard about, and most of what I heard was pretty good. I also fell underneath the direction and leadership of some of these great past presidents. And I also served with two other specials. That would be Senator Kuntz and Senator Coe. And we were quite a team when we were together, enjoyed it very much. And I feel so honored to be able to be here today. I wish it was at the real Capitol, which has a lot of memories, and it's just majestic in my eyes. So thank you very much for what you're doing. Carry on the good work. This was a tough year, I know.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hank Coe represents Park County and presided as Senate President in 2001. What are you smiling about? I'm not done yet. And 2002, and is currently the only past president still serving in the Senate. Senator Coe, privilege of the floor.
I don't have much to say. You want to call for the question?
Question.
Oh, what an honor. You know, this serving with my good friend Jim Twyford, and he was the king of the one-liners, and He had some one-liners that I'm going to repeat because they're so much fun. He said, he would say, a camel's got his nose under the flap of the tent because he heard something go bump in the night. And he said, I can't vote for this bill. It's kind of like trying to kiss your girlfriend through a screen door. Anyway, it's my honor to be here, to still be serving with you. What a team Jim Twyford and April and I were. April was my majority floor leader in 01 and 02. And she came in as Senate President in 03 and 04 with Speaker Fred Parody. And she called me into her office and she said, Coe, she said, I got a new job for you. Irene Devon's retiring. I want you to chair education. And that was in 03. Boy, I don't know why I did this, but and then there was one other duty she gave me. She said, Coe, you're on Fred Patrol. I want to know everything Parody's doing. What an honor. Thank you, Mr. President, with these great, great people, and what a day. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Senator April Brimmer Kuntz, special lady, represented Laramie County and served as the first female president in 2003 and 2004. Thank you, April. I'll turn on the mic there by Senator Von Flatern for you.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you. This really brings tears to my eyes to be here with all of you and all of the past presidents and their spouses that have come back. Thank you. Thank you for the service. I know what it takes. You have families. You have businesses. Thank you to the staff for everything that you do to make us look good. And I think during this very difficult time, I was in the House when we balanced on several million dollars that came into the state of Wyoming from an estate in Teton County,
Literally, that's what we balanced on. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train. And this is a contentious session. It's difficult. But remember, the process works. And you will solve the problems for the people of the state of Wyoming, each and every one of you. Try not to break the friendships if you can. Pull together at the end as a team, and you will. But stand up for your principles and serve the people of this great state. And remember, a balanced budget is in the Constitution for a reason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, could I say one thing?
Absolutely.
I'm single, so I have no one to introduce as a significant other. But I have my daughter, Catherine, who was given permission to be on the floor, I think, to take pictures of her mother.
Welcome, Catherine. Good
and it is my hope that she will be the next generation that will continue the work. And she is the mother of my grandson, Landon.
Yay, welcome. Senator John Hines represented Campbell and Converse counties and served as Senate President from 2009 and 2010. Senator Hines.
Hooray.
Better grab a Campbell County mic there.
Yeah. Privilege of the floor, Mr.
Yes,
President.
Yes, sir, you may.
Thank you. I want to thank you and everyone else for the hospitality. It's great to come back and see everybody here. I know most everybody. There's two or three new faces, but it's good to meet them, and it's great to see the staff. And we all know that they really work hard and does well for the state of Wyoming. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Senator Tony Ross represented Laramie County and presided as Senate President in 2013 and 2014. And I believe Tony was attorney, a staff attorney, when some of these former people were presidents as well. Senator Ross, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
The king.
Do you miss me yet?
We'll have a Tony moment.
That's right. You know, I've been trying to listen every now and then, and quite frankly, it's been hard to divorce myself from the Senate, which is a wonderful place. But I did notice that there weren't very many Tony moments. I don't even think I've heard one, except for today. My wife is here. She's done so much in our 35 years of marriage, 22 years in the legislature. It's just an honor to be back. And I'm looking forward to getting you all back into the Capitol in 2019. What a neat thing that's going to be. So thank you so much. Thank you for having us, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Thank you. And members of the Senate, there's another special president that's not here with us today, and he's the immediate past president. And you all know that it's Senator Phil Nicholas, and he's had some health issues, and we've been praying for him. He's doing really well. You know, he wanted to be here today, but we have the future Senator Nicholas here as well as his daughter. So, Kim, if you'd please come up, and the floor is yours if you have a few words to say about your father and whatever you would like to do. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I actually wrote a few things out because this is a little bit hard of a time, but most of you have been along for this roller coaster ride over the last few years, many years, with my dad's health. We've watched his health wax and wane, and over December and January, he took a major tailspin. And as you all know, on January 31st, he was given the gift of life via a liver transplant. And we know that your prayers here that day were heard. And so thank you very much for that. Unfortunately, we know that this miracle also comes from an ultimate sacrifice, and we mourn for the family on the other side, and we continue to pray for them every day. My father wanted me here today so that I could say thank you on his behalf and on the behalf of our family for all of your thoughts and your prayers. He is doing miraculously right now. He's a little more emotional, kind of like I am right now, but we decided maybe he has a new Italian liver. We're not sure. there's a little tone. Yeah, it might be an improvement. But the truth is, we all know that Phil Nicholas would never go down without a heck of a fight. And you just can't get rid of him that easily. So I think his first goal was to make it back here before the session was over to tell you himself, and I'm not sure that he's going to be able to do that. But you have not heard the last of him, and most of you have probably already heard from him this week. So we just want to say thank you very much for your support and all of your prayers.
Thank you so much. Mr. Vice President, would you come up here, please?
Mr. President, it's all yours.
Mr. Vice President, may I appear to the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm going to come back, and I have something to give to each one of you past presidents, so I'll be doing that right now, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, if I can continue, privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
I'm going to turn it over to you and these wonderful senators and past senators to do the business of the day. I'm going to actually go down to the other end of the hall and say hi to the House. So
hopefully,
I'll start with you.
Hopefully you'll
if I could be
back.
Excused, I'll do that.
You're
I will
very
be back.
Excused, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank all our visitors very much for being here today.
You could take down if you want.
Would you take Senator Coe with you? Okay, Senate, can we have Blaine, please, our page, come up to the podium.
So much for the good times.
We have a resolution for you, and thank you for your service. A resolution to recognize Blaine Tears, President of the Page in the Wyoming State Senate, be resolved by the Senate of the 64th Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Blaine has served as Page for the Senate from February 6th through February 16th, whereas Blaine's service as a Page has been exceptional and fully appreciated by the Wyoming Senators, whereas this resolution has the support of the members of the Senate of the Wyoming Legislature who have signed their name unto, hereto, now, therefore, be it resolved by the undersigned members of the Senate of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming, Section 1, that Blaine has served the Senate of the State of Wyoming with dignity and respect. Section 2, that Blaine's dedication will serve him well in his future endeavors. Therefore, with great appreciation, we recognize Blaine Tears for his outstanding dedication and support to the State of Wyoming on this, the 16th day of February, 2017. And here's a token of our appreciation, and the microphone's all yours.
Wow. I don't know how you follow up to all those great speeches, but I want to say thank you for these past 2 weeks. It's been a great experience to work with each and every one of you. It truly has been an honor to meet, work with, and help each and every one of you. and the work that you guys put in really doesn't is not shown. People don't really know what you guys do. So thank you very much.
And thank you for your service. Thank you. Do you have any messages from the House? Let's read the journal report, please.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 15, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, chairman.
Okay. Are there any, the reading journal has been read. Are there any objections? There being none, report is adopted. Senator Moniz.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President. Privilege of the floor.
You may.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, out in the gallery watching us as we do our business this morning is the Youth Council members from Laramie High School. And if I could introduce their members, is Kirby Hales, Hannah Johnson, Claudin Webb, Garrett Means, Lucas Rignell, Aru Nair, Caden Haug, Jaden Wilford, and John Caldwell. If you'd give them a hand, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Might add, Mr. Vice President, that Kirby Hales is also my grandson, and we're very proud of him.
Welcome to the Senate. We haven't introduced our Nurse of the Day yet.
What?
No, can you believe that? The Nurse of the Day is Jessica Buchholz. She's from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Will you welcome her to the Senate, please?
Chairman.
Senator Kinski.
Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Jessica Buchholz is a nurse educator and works in the intensive care unit at the hospital, and I told her something about that she did not know, and I wanted to share it with you. Years ago, there was an Olympic skier named Peekaboo Street. When she completed her career, she went to nursing school. And they told her, Peekaboo, when you become a nurse, you can work anywhere except in the intensive care unit. And she said, why is that? And they said, because we don't want to hear the speakers through the hospital crack to life and say, Peekaboo, ICU, Peekaboo, ICU.
I think most of the Senate got that one, Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, if you don't get it, ask the person in the next speaker.
His microphone's suddenly broken for the rest of the day. Going to move things along. Yeah. Standing ovation on that. I can't quite see through. Affy, could you, Senator Ellis, excuse me, could you move your flowers just a little bit? I know. Okay, unfinished. We'll go right on to second reading, please. Bills on second reading. Messages from the House. Do we have those? We have messages from the House. Will the reader please read those?
From the House of Representatives, message number 327, February 15, 2017. Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the following bill by the vote indicated. Senate File 103, Water Project Repayment, Ayes 13, Noes 46, Excused 1. Message number 5, February 14, 2017. Mr. President, the House has completed consideration of the General Appropriations Bill, Senate File 1. In accordance with JR 14-1G, the bill has been referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report, recommend amendments for final consideration by both houses with respect to budget bills HB 1 and Senate File 1 and the amendments thereto. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Bills on second reading. House Bill 23. Reading Clerk.
House Bill 23, Secretary of State's Office Amendments.
House Bill 23, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 44, Second reading.
House Bill 44 engrossed, Board of Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors.
House Bill 44 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 74, second reading.
House Bill 74 engrossed, Agent Orange Health Awareness Month.
House Bill 74 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 86 on second reading.
House Bill 86, Omnibus Water Bill Construction.
House Bill 86, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 90 on second reading.
House Bill 90, Concealed Weapons Military Family Applicants.
House Bill 90, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 128 on second reading.
House Bill 128, Tribal License Plates.
House Bill 128, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 139 on second reading.
House Bill 139, School Finance Court-Ordered Placement.
House Bill 139, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 163 on second reading.
House Bill 163, Engrossed Elections Recount Deposits.
House Bill 163, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? See, no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 183 on second reading.
House Bill 183, Engrossed Security for On-Deposit Public Funds.
House Bill 183, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 221 on second reading.
House Bill 221, Non-Resident Employer Bonding Requirements.
House Bill 221, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 254 on second reading.
House Bill 254, Public Purpose Investments.
House Bill 254, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list? Sorry. Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Okay, just briefly, we have some very special guests here from Glen Rock, Wyoming. We have the mayor of the town, Doug Frank, and his chief of police, Tim Hurst. Let's welcome to the Senate.
Welcome to the Wyoming Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. House Bill 6, Principle-Based Reserving. House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act. House Bill 35, Sponsorship of Legislation. House Bill 60, State Investment Policy. House Bill 70, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions. House Bill 129, Food Freedom Act, amendments. House Bill 195, Quebec One Transfer.
Would any member like any of these bills removed from the consent list?
Mr. Vice President?
Yes.
I'd ask that House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act, be laid back one day till, I guess that'd be Tuesday.
Seeing no objections, it's so ordered. House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act, will be laid back one day. Any other members like anything removed from the consent list? Seeing no. The following is the consent list on third reading is House Bill 6, Principle-Based Reserving, House Bill 35, Sponsorship of Legislation, House Bill 60, State Investment Policy, House Bill 70, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions, House Bill 129, Food Freedom Act Amendments, House Bill 195, Quebec One Transfer. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasberger?
Aye.
President Bebout excused.
Excused.
On the consent list, 28 aye, 2 excused. House Bill 6, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 6, 28 aye, 2 excused. House Bill 35, are there any changes?
Case,
aye
to no.
Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 35, 27 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. House Bill 60, are there any changes?
Bouchard, aye to no.
Bouchard, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 60, 26 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. House Bill 70, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 70, 28 aye, 2 excused. House Bill 129, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 129, 28 aye, 2 excused. House Bill 195, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no.
Perkins,
aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 195, 20 aye, 8 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 6, Principle-Based Reserving, House Bill 35, Sponsorship of Legislation, House Bill 60, State Investment Policy, House Bill 70, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions, House Bill 129, Food Freedom Act Amendments, and House Bill 195, Quebec One Transfer, have passed the Senate. Would you like to?
Did I miss my vote?
Yeah, well, he just marked you as excused.
Okay, I got her.
Bill's on third reading. House Bill 27. Reading clerk, please read in the House bill.
House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance, sponsored by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school facilities.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk, please read that amendment in.
House Bill 27, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 4.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 27 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Senators, you might remember that the good senator from Bates Creek brought in an amendment on second reading which asked the Department of Insurance to take a look at the self-insurance pool that we referenced with regard to school facilities. A little over 50% of the school districts out there utilize that particular insurance pool. I have since come to understand that that has some backup insurance to it that they purchase. You might remember the commercials with the umbrella in the background. Very well insured, and it looks like they're not only willing to cooperate but anxious to do so. As the state takes a look at that fund, we may actually, I've got to give credit to the senator, I think we're going to potentially learn some things that might be of value. But what this does, this amendment on third reading, Mr. President, we just take the hammer out of the toolbox. We're convinced that we're going to find out what we need to find out. And what this amendment does, it simply says that that the work of that insurance department will come back with a report to two of our committees. We're confident, Mr. President, that if they do that, if we see anything going on that deserves our attention further, that one of those committees can draft up what is needed and bring it forth to the Senate. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think this amendment represents a good compromise. Mr. President, I think the most likely outcome of the review by the insurance department will be either a total clean bill of health or it will be the Joint Powers Board is fine, except that there should be a limit to how much risk they can afford to take on, and we ought to do some additional things. This will give us time to do that, and, Mr. President, I think this will serve the purpose quite well.
Further discussion. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 27. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 27 has passed. House Bill 27, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the House bill pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 27, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 27 has passed the Senate. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 55, third reading of the bill. You want to do 27 next? I don't know. Okay. Back to what I just said. House Bill 55, third reading of the House bill.
House Bill 55 engrossed, Spending Policy Amendments 2, sponsored by the Capital Finance Committee, an act relating to public funds.
We do have an amendment. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 55, third reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 11.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 55 and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, by way of explanation, I'd go back to some words from a prior session by my good friend from the county of Uinta, which is, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, this amendment is not as bad as it looks. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, what happened is after we amended that bill twice yesterday, those two amendments, I was concerned that they didn't mesh. And so I asked staff to take a look at this, and I said, would you please go back and make sure when this bill goes out of here that it meshes with what we did to it yesterday. And Mr. President, thank goodness I did, because this is the result of meshing. The intent of this is just to bring in and make both of those amendments we did yesterday fully effective. So I had staff look at this, and I'll take you through it and what it does. And at any point in time you think you've had enough, please feel free to call for the question in the middle of my comments.
Question.
So if you're serious about that, I'll sit down and we'll vote. But ultimately what we did is looking at this, the lines 1 and 2 are put in to create due to a governor certification that's required by March 31 of whether or not one of the House bills has passed. That's a ministerial act that needed to be in the bill, according to our staff. Lines 4 through 13 of the amendment are technically and only regard statute and correct and change some statute references. Line 15 is a technical. It creates otherwise, if we didn't do this at only one fiscal year that started in 2017, it corrects the effect, which is to put this off a couple years. 2018 has to do with PMTF spending policy needs, and this starts the step down, and it puts it back in year 2019, and this was meshing those two amendments together, and if we didn't do it, this created a problem. So this what this is otherwise the two amendments stepped all over each other. So all that did is step that back. Lines 24 through 33 were identified to me as cleanup, and the stuff they're striking in lines 31 through 33, the reference here makes the calculation necessary. So it takes some calculation language out of the bill as amended, and by this we don't have to have that because it goes back to, according to staff, calculation language that does the same thing. The lines 35 is a technical, same as the line 15 above. Bottom of the rest of page 1 is the insertion of 2018 for the Common School Permanent Land Fund spending policy amount. It makes those so that those two amendments mesh together. So the lines 4 through 13 on page 2 did the same thing for the Excellence in Education spending policy. This also then went back and integrated lines 15 through 27 with the Burns Committee. The whole date change, then these lines end up repeating subsection R, and so that was a staff said that needed to happen for a cleanup. And then finally, number 4 is we needed to split effective dates to allow for certification by the governor on March 31, and then for it to come into effect once that's done. There was no attempt to change either one of the amendments, but like I said, I was concerned. A little voice in my head told me that we might have had problems with those two amendments. I asked staff to look at it. Multiple staff looked at it and came back. This has been checked and double-checked by staff, and I believe we have it right now. So the intent was not to change anything as the bill was, but these are technical corrections that were brought to me by staff after my request.
Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 55. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 55 has passed. House Bill 55, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the amended bill be read a third time or pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Bonplater?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote?
You want?
Closing vote closed. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 55, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 55 has passed the Senate. Next bill for consideration is House Bill 79, third reading of the House bill. Oh, excuse me, Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to, the body here to look in the back in the fishbowl. Please have these folks stand up as I announce them. These are WAMI students from the University of Wyoming. And if I mispronounce their names, they can beat me up later. If you would stand as I say your name, Brittany Christensen from Powell, Glenn Clinton from Cody, Christopher Elbogen from Casper, Kathy Gish from Laramie, Alexandra Gobble from Casper, Brittany Gokin from Cheyenne, Laurel Green from Casper, Teal Jenkins from Laramie, Amanda Kinley from Wilson, Shaylee Lanouette from Casper, J.C. Meixel from Green River, Kevin Muller from Evanston, Dan Nichols, I can't read my own writing, from Lovell, Megan Olson from Cheyenne, Caleb Rivera from Cody, Olivia Rogers from Powell, Aaron Spurlock from Lander, Jared Unangst from Casper, and Peter Wilcox from Riverton. These folks are the best and brightest we have. They've come to watch the best and brightest work in the Jonah. Please give them a hand of welcome. Also a reminder, Mr. President, that they are putting on a luncheon down at the depot at noon.
Thank you, Senator Baldwin. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With all the formality, can I ask for privilege of the floor?
Yes,
would
sir.
Would you rather not?
You may.
Okay. Members of the WAMI Class of 2020, I would like to congratulate you on your success. You have been chosen to represent the great state of Wyoming, the state where the cowboy and steamboat are the emblem of our independence and self-reliance. To date, the state of Wyoming has financially invested in your education to a great extent. The total funding spent by the legislature on your K-12 education is approximately $191,871. If you graduated from the University of Wyoming, the financial investment for your education by the state of Wyoming is $162,043. And now you are in medical school. The Wyoming legislature will spend $77,214 per year for a four-year total of $308,856 on your medical training. You will invest over $49,000 of your own money by the time that you graduate from medical school. The Wyoming legislature believes in the investment of your future so much that we have spent a grand total of $662,770 on your education. You are the best, and you are our brightest, and each of you are worth every penny. You are the best example of all that is good in our young people today. Before you finish your studies at the University of Wyoming and move to Seattle, Washington to attend yet another UW, I would like to speak to you about being an ambassador from the Equality State. Several years ago, the legislative body passed the Code of the West based upon a book written by Jim Owens. The Wyoming legislature felt so strongly about cowboy ethics that we placed it into statute, and it became a part of our laws. We ask that you carry these cowboy ethics with you to your new UW. Live each day with courage. Remember, you are from Wyoming, and you have experienced horizontal blizzards on the Great Plains of Laramie. You can handle anything the University of Washington should throw your way. Take pride in your work. You have been selected to the WAMI program because of your high intelligence and your ability to relate to others. Your bedside manner is just as important as your knowledge of medicine. Work hard to build relationships with your patients and spend time with them. Then sit your butt down in a chair and study to prepare yourself to provide quality health care for the citizens of Wyoming upon your return. Always finish what you start. You are almost done with your first year of medical school, and soon will receive your short white coat. You will have one more year of classroom learning left, and then you will receive your long white coat. In the third year, you will begin your rotations in medicine, which is sometimes called the Wyoming tour. Finally, your fourth year will pass quickly as you specialize in your field, and then it's match day and on to residency. The Wyoming Senate expects you to graduate and to return to this great state after you have completed your residency. Do what has to be done. At the end of your educational journey, each one of you will have to make a difficult choice in where you will practice the medical profession. Remember the words of Dr. Seuss when he wrote in, "Oh, the places you will go." You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And only you can decide where to go. Remember that only you can make that difficult choice. And in my best Seuss-like language, the Wyoming Senate doesn't care where you go. As long as you go to Wyoming, you know. Be tough and be fair. Remember, there is no sudden leap to greatness. Your success lies in making the hard decision to study day by day. Good work done little by little becomes great work. When you make a promise, keep it. The Wyoming legislature has spent $662,000 on your education, and you have signed a contract with us. We want you to return to our great state. We expect it. A promise made is a promise kept. Ride for the brand. Remember, you represent the entire state of Wyoming, and the Wyoming Senate is watching your medical training closely. Over the years, the Wyoming Senate has worked to increase the number of students in the Wyoming program. We have moved from 10 students in 1997 to 20 students today. The University of Washington has told the Wyoming legislature that Wyoming does not have the talent to have that many students in their program. I say bull crap to that. We want you to accept this challenge and prove to the University of Washington that you are an outstanding student. You will need to work and study hard. Do not let us down. The eyes of Wyoming are upon you. And ride for the brand by wearing some brown and gold to class from time to time. Talk less and say more. Remember the three biggest words of all, please and thank you. The Wyoming Senate expects you to be an ambassador of our state. Remember that some things are not for sale, like your love for Wyoming and your commitment and pledge to return to this state. Know where to draw the line. Some of you will go into specialties in medicine that the population of Wyoming cannot support. You will be forced to seek your future somewhere else. Approximately 30% of your class will face this dilemma. The Wyoming Senate recognizes this hardship and asks you to think fondly of our state and the education that it provided you. No matter where you go, we are committed to this program and will continue the program for the future of others. We do ask that you repay your loan and remember Wyoming fondly. And last, I would like to remind you that Robert Fulghum wrote a book called All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Fulghum's ideas are still true today as you finish your first year in medical school. When you move to Seattle in the next few months, I urge you to act like a kindergartner. When he wrote, when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands and stick together. You have been lifelong, you have made lifelong friends with your fellow classmates. Take care of each other. And remember, in Seattle, your parents and friends are hundreds of miles away. They will think and worry about you every day, but they will be powerless to help you. So hold hands and stick together. You are Team Wyoming. Be a team. Fulghum reminds us to be more like a kindergartner and to be aware of wonder. Remember, the little seed in the styrofoam cup, the roots go down and the plant goes up. And nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. And so do we. And all the medical training in the world can't stop that. Take care of each other and remember that you are the living, breathing example of all the great teachers you have had in this state. Those teachers cherish your future. You are the pride of the cowboy state and all that is good about the next generation of our medical leaders. The Wyoming Senate wishes you the best of success. May God bless you all. And the Wyoming Senate wishes you Godspeed. Remember, you can't get back to Wyoming fast enough, and we look forward to your quick and triumphant return. Members of the 64th, let's welcome the Wyoming Class of 2020.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger, and I hope that the WAMI students listen to your words, and if you have a printed copy of that, it would probably be good to give them so they don't forget. Okay, we're still on bills on third reading, House Bill 79.
House Bill 79 engrossed State Funds Equity Investments Pool, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to public funds.
It does have an amendment. Senator Meyer. All yours, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number 79 to House Bill, or third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 79, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. A little background on this bill, I spent the last 2 days working with the Treasurer's Office and staff to get the flexibility that's needed in the Treasurer's Office. The reason that we needed flexibility in the first place was because in the AG's opinion that said anything that wasn't common stock that was an investment essentially was an equity. And so what I hope to do on this is to look at restricting common stock investments to 60% and the other investments that the AG considered to be equities in the class of alternative investments. So what this amendment does is take the equity investments, including common stocks of corporations, down to 60% rather than 70%. I had a little bit of heartburn thinking that you would have a portfolio in the state that had 70% common stock. That's fairly risky. Really, if you look at asset allocation, you can have some risky investments, but you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. So we go from 70 to 60. Talked to the Treasurer's Office as far as some of their alternative investments. Came up with the percentage of 30%. Which they thought they could work with within that and never have to go above that number. I think this will work for a time being, Mr. Vice President, but I would hope at some point in time we could get to a more professional allocation rather than a legislative allocation, more like the Retirement Board does, where their asset allocation is driven by certified investment planners rather than by legislative intent. And But I think this is a process. I think this is the first part of the process. I think over the course of the next 2-3 years, with the changes in the Treasurer's office, we should be able to get to that point. But, Mr. Vice President, this allows some flexibility to start moving in that direction after the full implementation of the extra people that the Treasurer has and the investment team and the investment board that they're setting up. I think we could probably move to a professional asset allocation rather than a statutory asset allocation. So with that explanation about where we are, where we are, the AG's opinion, and hopefully where we will be going, I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Any further discussion on this? Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President, I'd like to divide this amendment, please.
Go for it.
Lines 2 through 14 would be Division 1.
That's fine. The rest is Division 2, 15.
No. Then okay. Lines 16 and 17 would be Division 2, and lines 19 through the end of the amendment would be Division 3.
So we'll throw line 18 in with its blank, but we'll throw it in with Division 2?
You can put it anywhere you want, Mr. Vice President.
We'll keep it PG. So on. Yes, Senator Meyer.
Although this might be divisible as far as where the lines are on the paper, the problem that you have, if you do have the division, and one passes and the other one fails, it's problematic from the standpoint of actually what happens in the Treasurer's office or in the investment realm, because what will happen is that as one asset allocation goes down, the other one naturally goes up because of the absence of the other asset allocation.
Senator Meyer, is it divisible by itself?
Whether
it has repercussions otherwise, is it divisible?
Otherwise, it is divisible.
Okay.
Vice President.
Thank you. Senator Burns, I haven't ruled yet. Let me look at this real quick. Not that I'm slow, but I am slow on this one. Chair does rule it's divisible. Senator Burns, would you like to start on which division?
Mr. Chairman, Division 1 I really have no thought on one way or the other. So if you want to vote on that one, fine. It's Division 2 and 3 that I want to address.
So we're doing Division 1. Further conversation on Senator Office?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And not to second guess your decision that it was divisible, Mr. Chairman. But Division 1 without Divisions 2 and 3 is meaningless since it's mostly title and conforming amendments. Different portions of Division 1 should be carried with Divisions 2 and 3. So I realize we have a ruling already. I wasn't done working it in my mind. And at this point, I don't know that we could either pass or not pass Division 1 by itself. Perhaps the way to do it would be to, at the discretion of the divider, to work Divisions 2 and 3 prior to working Division 1, if we're going to leave it divided in that manner.
I believe the call Division 1 is what we're working on. So Division 1 being lines 1 through 13, I believe.
Mr. Vice President?
It's through 14.
Senator, it's through 14.
I think.
Seth, through 14.
Vice President?
Yes, Senator Burns?
Just to make things easier,
why don't we start on Division 2? Start discussion on Division 2, and then we can deal with Division 1 depending on how 2 and 3 come out.
Senator Meyer?
I would actually request that we start on Division 3
So the divider called division two, so we're on it right now.
All right, Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Vice President, let's go with division three. I don't want any rancor on the House. We're about to go for a long weekend, and I admire the effort that was put in by the bringer of the amendment. So let's go with division three. My question he's basically starting up an entirely new account here, and I wanted to get a little bit more of an explanation on that. I didn't quite follow what he was saying.
Senator Hicks, I'm on Division 3, which is lines 19 through 31.
Correct. Mr. Vice President, just a little discussion on what would constitute an alternative investment. Would that include commodities also in there as a potential alternative?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. A question I'd have on Division 3 is one of those concerns. I mean, ultimately, with what was just said in the explanation of the bill, as we apply it to Section 3 of the division, or division Part 3 of the division, it would seem to me that we're doing just the exact opposite of what we were talked about, that the allocation needs to move away from a legislative model and move towards a more professional investment model. It's one of those things, while we have the power to do certain things, the question is, should we always exercise that power in this way? And as I read this bill, what it's saying is, before we said whether you had 60% or 70%, what was started in the bill was 60, then I think we moved it to 70. This will come back and move it to 60, but what Division 3 does is says, in addition to what would be the 60%, is now you may also additionally invest up to 30% of the permanent funds in alternative investments. So, as I understand it, that would be, I think that's cumulative in nature, as I understand the amendment. So you could do 60 in equities, and then up to another 30% in alternatives. And alternatives, as I understand them, are, I don't know, as alternatives is a broad definition, as I understand it. It can be potentially private equity, it can be real estate investments, it can be, it can be arbitrage, I think it probably could be options or other things like that. I mean, there's a broad scope of alternatives, and quite frankly, in some instances, those are important parts of a portfolio. And what we're talking about here, and looking at the funds that we have identified that are actually in the bill, the five funds that this is going to apply to, I don't understand why we'd want this flexibility, and two, why now we'd be doing not only 30% or up to 60% in equities, but now additional 30% in alternatives. I don't understand where we're going on this.
Senator Burns, this will be for your second time on Division 3. I have Senator Scott, so I'll let Senator.
I just want a point of order.
Point of order.
I was just hoping that because since we have divided, that the sponsor of the amendment would be able to speak twice yet on the.
He'll speak twice on each division.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Scott?
Mr. Vice President, and I will say that I did have some experience serving on the investment committee for a large nonprofit that had about $1 billion endowment, and alternative investments were, when we talked to the professionals about managing that, alternative investments included the things that the majority floor leader was talking about. Their private equity would be a prime example. They are frequently, Mr. Vice President, either illiquid, and the private equity would be in that category, or potentially very volatile, which we didn't get into in that one, and things like commodities. I think that this division, unlike the other one, I think this division should be defeated because I think that illiquid investments are not something we ought to be indulging in with the state pool investments. May be appropriate as a small part of, say, the permanent investments, Mr. Chairman, but not for this set.
Further discussion on Division 3, lines 19 through 31 on the amendments. Senator Meyer?
Mr. Chairman,
I guess from Senator Scott's perspective, we could probably further divide this. And because the lines 19 through 23 is the PMTF funds, and lines 27 through 31, the end of it is the pooled funds. but Mr. Chairman, we'll see what it brings. I think that our treasurer is capable of figuring that out. But let's go to the statute and alternative investments as defined under 947.14 means investments in non-traditional asset classes or in traditional asset classes which are utilized in a non-traditional strategy. The problem that we got into in the treasurer's office basically was what happened was that the real estate investment trust that they have a substantial amount of money in was turned into an equity. And when the AG turned that into an equity, then it started bumping up against the 55% threshold. And there are also alternative other classes that they have, such as private equity and other alternative asset classes that they've been working with. So what I was seeking to do was to try to put that in kind of the same type of strategy that we see more or less in broad bands that we have in our retirement portfolio, where they have a wide range, and that range goes up to a top, and that's really going to be determined by the treasurer. And so this gives the flexibility of the treasurer to invest in the real estate trust. And Mr. President, for folks that don't know what that is, it's basically a trust. It's a company that goes out and buys maybe office things in New Orleans as far as office space or apartments in Phoenix or something, and it's all put into a basket and it's made into a real estate investment trust. That was considered basically stock. And so that's what was starting to throw the treasurer over the line. So I wanted to give the flexibility of the treasurer, talk to the treasurer's office several times over the last 2 days. These are broad bands which they can work in. And so, Mr. President, with that explanation of what alternative assets is, I would hope the body would support this and allow the treasurer's office to do their job so we don't have to consider it on the floor.
Further discussion on Division 3 of the amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on and for the amendment, but just to be clear, only if we're voting for all the rest of it. because
on Division 3.
The divisibility of this is not a good policy idea, even though technically we can make this division. So on and for Division 3, and Mr. Chairman, my concern here, which is a broader concern that I've discussed a lot of times with both the Treasurer and with the bringer of this amendment, is we put ourselves as a state into circumstances where we're mismanaging investments, not because we don't know what we should be doing, but because the legislature has written things in statute about what we should be investing in. We provide limited flexibility, and as a result right now, we're heavily invested in bonds where we shouldn't be. In fact, bond equity funds, or excuse me, bond mutual funds, my apologies, in a way that from a risk standpoint, when you do a risk assessment, it was not a good decision. But the legislature, in its wisdom at some point in the past, put some numbers in place that said, well, you're going to end up investing in bonds whether you like it or not because they're a sure thing. Well, the reason that we lost a few $100 million last year of our funds, and the reason why a portion of our portfolio right now is another $200 or $300 million behind, is because we're making decisions in this body that limit the flexibility for investments where the investments are not on a risk basis, a sound financial management basis, but are rather on a, well, what's in the statute? This amendment does not necessarily go as far as it probably should to get the legislature out of the decision-making process and leave it to financial management and planning, where we have experts that are taking a look at it and trying to balance risk and, excuse me for saying the word tranche, but tranche risks at different levels, and then look at those based on return over time, which is a strategic approach to investment. Instead, we end up with things in statute that just say 55%. Where did we come up with 55%? I have no idea, but the legislature made that decision. Now we're going to change it to 60 or 70% with exactly the same level of confidence from, as far as I can count, zero financial managers, and we're going to bind the treasurer. This amendment tries to loosen things up a little bit. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice President, that's the reason I support it. It doesn't go far enough towards the objective where we stop micromanaging investment strategies, but at least it takes a step in that direction. So, Mr. Vice President, I'd urge the body to adopt this amendment overall, but if anyone here is thinking, all right, well, I like number 3, but I don't like 2 or 1, then I would strongly urge you to say no. No, just say no to everything, and let's move on, Mr. Vice President.
Senator Rothfuss, you've given me, like, no answer there. Senator Perkins.
Thank you.
Majority floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. This may be the best amendment. This may be the best division ever. The problem is I don't know. I mean, when you look, come back to the bill, and I got confused when the bringer of the bill talked about the PMTF stuff, because this bill talks about the Wyoming Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund, Wyoming Life and Natural Resources Trust Account, the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund, the Wyoming Public Television Matching Fund, and the trust account of the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. And I, you know, which the total of those from the best recollection we had the other day is about somewhere between $200 and $240 million. So that's all that we're talking about in this bill. And so while this may be a great discussion to have with respect to the larger, broader funds that are out there, I don't know that when we talk about these specific funds, I don't know that the folks that were behind that and wanted these things, that they were interested in having this broad range. And this may be the best amendment ever, but the problem is I don't know that there's been adequate input from the Treasurer's Office to go invest whatever they want to go invest. But there's other stakeholders out there that have a lot on the line in these five funds, and we may do this exact thing next year. I just don't know that right now is charging ahead with these throwing that out there with these five funds is the right thing to do right now. On and against amendment division 3.
Division 3, lines 19 through 31. Anyone else like to?
Question.
Question being called. All in favor of division 3, which is lines 19 through 31 on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 79, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
That division has failed. We're on division.
Mr. Vice President.
Senator Meyer.
Meaning amendment.
I don't think you can. It's up to Bruce.
The amendment has been withdrawn. Seeing no objection, the amendment is withdrawn. Wow. Senate file, or House Bill 79, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Excuse.
Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasterberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing Vote closed. 26 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 79, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 79 has passed the Senate. We have some concurrences. Senator Burns, are you ready on concurrence for message number 323?
Mr. President, yes, I am.
Reading clerk, please read it in.
Message number 323, referencing Senate File 41, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move concurrence on Senate File 41, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments, and I ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, when the bill went down to the other end, it was a pretty good bill, but one of the people down there decided to become a grammar Nazi and took the exact same language and moved it two lines down, saying that it read better. The bill still does the same thing. So with that, I would ask the body to please concur.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on message number 323 to Senate File 41, accepting the House amendments. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Doughton?
Yes.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasterberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 29 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred with the House amendments to Senate File 41 being original message number 323. Senator Case, are you ready on message 324? Senator Case, let the reading clerk read it in first.
Message number 324, referencing Senate File 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would move message number 324, the concurrence request to Senate File 43, and ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, when this bill moved through on our side, we had an amendment dealing with the hours of operation of liquor establishments. The essence was, when the bill first came to us, it left that up to local licensing authority. We heard some testimony and decided to add that some restrictions, in other words, restore the restrictions on licensing hours. That was taken out and revised in by our friends down the hall. And the new information I can bring to the table is that the organization that represents municipalities across Wyoming sort of has come down, and they've changed their position on it, and they support the version of our friends down the hall. And what that would do is allow for local licensing authorities to set hours of operation. I believe I've been communicated with the bringer of the amendment on the Senate side, so I think we're covered there. Be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Further discussion? Senator Nethercott.
Mr. President, I do have some questions about the effect of this amendment on how it may apply to Wyoming and the uniqueness of our location. So I just have a question for the good senator behind me. For example, could Lander have 1 hour of operation for when their bars will close and Riverton can have another?
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for his second time. Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr.
Mr. President, along this question along the same lines, does this usurp the statutorily set hours, or this just calls for standardization?
Any other questions? Senator Case, for your second time.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Yes, this would a bill is that's on our table right here would allow for local licensing authorities to set different hours. There's no indication that they would necessarily do that, and they do understand the problem of having different hours between jurisdictions, but it does place that within their purview. And it is at least possible if the communities that were mentioned, which are two of the finest communities in the state of Wyoming, I might add, were not to work together on licensing establishments within their deal, there could be a difference in hours. But they're such fine communities, I have a hard time imagining that would ever happen.
He's already spoke for a second time. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 43, message number 324. If you vote aye, you vote to concur. The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Excused. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Antomi Downton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case conflict. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll conflict? Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebow?
Aye.
Aye.
Ellis,
aye
to no.
Ellis, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Anselmi Downton, aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 18 aye, 9 no, 1 excused, 2 conflict.
By your vote, you have concurred to the amendments to the conference report on Senate File 43 being original message number 324. We have any messages from the House or standing committee reports? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I think we're ready for that business of bills for consideration on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've got a few bills we need to consider. As soon as we get done with those bills, I've got another motion I'd like to make that I think the body would really like. I don't think they'll like this one so much, but the one that we have, as soon as we finish, I think they'll really like. And so with that, I'd move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole for consideration of these fine House bills on general file.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Pappas.
Committee of the Whole, please come into order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 164. Reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 164, Professional Licensing Boards, Telemedicine, Telehealth, an act relating to professions and occupations, sponsored by Representative Barlow, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so the recommendation that House Bill 164 do pass. There was no standing committee amendment, and I yield to Senator Barnard for next explanation of this good little House bill.
Senator Barnard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I bring you House Bill 164, Professional Licensing Boards, Telemedicine, Telehealth. Before I launch into the description of the bill, last year we bought an optometric protection bill, and that bill was talking about telemetric kiosks, and we wanted to get your permission as a legislature to regulate these kiosks. We went over to the House, or it passed here 30-0, and then went over to the House. Some of the representatives there were messing around with it a little bit, and so the Wyoming Optometric Association just decided to withdraw that bill. And it was a good thing we did, because this is a better bill, and I think it helps more people. When I first graduated in 1976, we were just starting in my optometric regimens there. We were just starting to use diagnostic drugs. So we had to come to the legislature, get permission to use the drugs. Then the other drugs that we had, the general style drugs, we finally decided we wanted to use those. We took the courses, we came back, we had to come to the legislature and ask them again if we could use these other drugs. So we really were tied down every time we had our profession wanted to advance. So this bill helps to eliminate that. If you look on page, this is an act relating professions, occupations, allowing licensure boards, state boards, to promulgate rules related to telemedicine health. Down at the bottom of page one, it talks about the Office of Rural Health is created within the Department of Health. On page two, at the very top, it talks about what this board will do. Rural Health Board will, in collaboration with the state health officer and the state chief information officer or their designees, collaborate with professional and occupational license boards concerning the promulgations of rules and definitions related to their practice. So what this bill does, Mr. Chairman, is we adopt this. This allows a state board to adopt rules and regulations relating to the practice of telemedicine and telehealth, and use telemedicine and health technologies within an applicable profession or occupational consistent with the professions or occupation's duties or obligations. So in other words, that gives this professional board the permission and the charge to set rules and regulations and do the licensing that they need to do for any of these new practices that will come down by telemedicine. In conclusion, this is a good bill. I've asked you to vote for it. This bill is designed to be specific to different professions. This bill does not change the scope of practice of any profession. It does not change the process of rules promulgation already in statute. This rule increases the collaboration between the different boards of the state and will allow them to kind of rise up and be able to regulate the telemedicine things that come to their professional boards. I would ask your favorable conditions and stand for any questions.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My old brain cells are kicking around a little bit. We had a bill about this last year, of course, as was referenced by the good senator. But as I recall, there was a kind of threading the needle of fencing in the last bill, and I believe it came to the Corporations Committee, and we worked very hard to kind of remove a fence to allow some modern diagnostic and techniques to be done. I feel that this bill sort of sticks the whole fence back in and gives kind of carte blanche to the Board of Optometry. And I also recall that we had concerns last year and we had a sunset date on this use of this new technology and the practices surrounding it. And I wish I could pull that bill up, but it was very carefully crafted to not be a fencing bill, and this could be used to fence out anything that might be new and then be required to only be done by practitioners of this profession. I would urge caution, and I'd certainly like to know a lot more.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman. We heard this bill in Committee 10, and what goes on is that telemedicine is making its way into virtually all our health professions. A few of the boards already have specific authority within their practice act to regulate it. Others do not. This bill gives the ones that do not a general authority to regulate. There is a group in the health department led by the medical director for Medicaid that is working on telemedicine issues. They're assisting all the various boards. They're already doing it, both the ones with authority and without, as to a decent set to deal with the issues. We did hear, Mr. Chairman, from the pharmacy board in particular, that needs those uniform procedures dealing with prescriptions that are coming in that are from people who are practicing via telehealth. This bill would be a big help to them. Mr. Chairman, the issue of fencing was raised. There is nothing inherent in this bill, Mr. Chairman, that would lead to fencing. And I think it will not lead to fencing. And the reason is that the United States Supreme Court, about 2 years ago, year and a half ago, in the North Carolina Dennis case, set down some rules that would restrain professional boards from using their position to fence out the competition. As you may recall, in that case, Mr. Chairman, the dentists were trying to fence out the retail merchants that were selling tooth whitening procedures. And all of our medical professional licensing boards are of a nature that would fall under that decision because the majority of their members are active practitioners who have an economic interest in that. And that decision would restrain the ability of such boards to do any kind of overt fencing. So I don't think this bill, where we're not granting that kind of authority to any board, we could do it. But we aren't in this bill. We're giving them the ability to make the sensible regulations, Mr. Chairman, that have to do with, does the person doing the telemedicine, they have to be licensed somewhere, they have to be licensed here, which they can readily do. How do you handle communications? There's a whole series of standard issues that come with telemedicine that have to be dealt with, Mr. Chairman. But I think specifically the concern that might be raised with regard to fencing, the combination of the way this is written and the combination of with that Supreme Court decision means that this bill will not result in fencing, and I think it will result in the other boards having some authority they need, and it will result in the organization within the health department being able to give assistance and useful guidance so that we have a relatively uniform set of procedures right across these health professions in how to deal with the telemedicine issues. And for that reason, Mr. Chairman, I strongly urge the Senate to adopt this bill.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, like my colleague from Lander, I find bills that fence offensive. Okay, never mind. Nonetheless, I support this bill. I think it's a better bill than last year, as my colleague from Evanston had indicated, because last year it was very specific as to what was to be done in terms of the telemedicine. This year, the way they thread the needle between fencing and between proper practice of medicine is by saying, State Board, you've got to put these regulations together, and you've got to do it in a way, as my colleague from Bates Creek said, that satisfies the Supreme Court that you're just not building a moat around your industry. And so there are advances in medicine, but all of those come at a potential price. An app on your phone that can tell you what your prescription for your eyeglasses can or should be, perhaps that's the way to go, and perhaps we should just leave it there, or perhaps there should be a little bit more human intervention. Some of the things when you your vision doesn't seem quite right that can be caught in a more thorough exam include cancerous retinal lesions, multiple sclerosis, a head injury, diabetes, a stroke, or even it's called Hollandhorst plaques, a piece of cholesterol breaks off and actually lodges in the eye. Those are all things that could be missed with just a simple app on a phone or a kiosk, that somehow the board is going to have to come up with regulations to say, how can we embrace 21st century technology while still assuring a proper level of care? And I would remind the body, we always have a chance to take a final look at those regulations. If we feel that there's a moat being built there, we have a chance to weigh in on that as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, if you turn to page 3, line 6, it says, any board promulgating rules under this paragraph shall first confer with the Office of Rural Health for the purpose of promoting the goals established in WS 9217. So if a board does try to fence somebody out, they have to report to this Rural Health Board, and they will be able to take action on that if it's definitely something illegal. So I think we're still safe here.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 164, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 164 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Nethercott.
My fellow senators, if you could please stand and recognize the esteemed 2017 Leadership Wyoming class, of which I am privileged to be an honor of. They are here visiting us today, and they, I have no doubt, will be serving with us sometime in the future.
Well, welcome to the Senate. The best class of 2017, right? All right. Okay. The committee, let's see, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 111. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 111, County Collective Accounts, sponsored by Representative Barlow, an act relating to workers' compensation, was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise, report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 111 do pass. There was no standing committee amendment, and I yield to Senator Boner for an explanation of this House bill.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we have here is a bill dealing with our workers' compensation program as it relates to county governments. What this bill would do is to allow the counties and the workforce services to jointly develop a program consolidating county employers into one group. So it's important to point out this doesn't necessarily create the program, just allows for its possibility if all 23 counties and workforce services can come to agreement as to the structure of this consolidated group. has the potential to save counties significantly while maintaining a budget-neutral position for the state. So the way it works right now is we have 23 counties and overall 109 different entities, different boards, countywide boards, that fall within one county employer group at Workforce Services. Just to give you some numbers, currently county employers in Wyoming pay about $12.5 million annually in workers' comp premiums, and they can reduce or recognize significant savings just by combining and having that greater pool of resources and doing nothing else. However, it's important to point out that even more savings can be realized as the consolidated group stands up and actually has safety and return to work programs. There's a state to the north of us known for its Rough Riders that has a very similar program. They have a similar setup when it comes to workers' compensation. They've experienced dramatic improvements in their worker safety outcomes and return to work rates. That state has about 250 average annual claims, while this here in Wyoming we have 317. And that state that has this program also has achieved 100% return to work rate. So this has been very successful in a very similar state, both economically and in terms of the way that our workers' comp works. So it's important to point out that each county will still pay their own premium, likely to a statewide organization which advocates for them. And so they'll have their own rating. They'll still have their own EMR rating, experience modification rating, given their own work history. And so that's going to be handled by a statewide organization that will also stand up those safety discount and return to work programs. So the vision for this is very clear. Empirical evidence exists that it will work. It will reduce costs for our counties at a time when, as everybody is, they're struggling financially. And just point out that this would not actually become a reality until all 23 counties get on board and have an agreement with the Department of Workforce Services. So that's the overall idea of the bill. You can see it's very straightforward with simply a new language being created that would basically authorize the program and amending the definitions, getting there on page 3 of the bill, as to what employers would qualify. So that's the basis of the bill. I'd certainly stand for any questions or discussion.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 111, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 111 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 26. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 26, engrossed. Bark Beetle Program Funding, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to state lands, was referred to Committee Number 5, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz. Senator Moniz, acting chair.
Senator, you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 26, Bark Beetle Program Funding, do pass. And we'll turn the discussion of this bill over to Senator Driscoll.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. House Bill 26 is something that all of you have seen. This actually is putting into bill form what we've been doing since 2014 through budget amendments. Real quick through the bill, what this really does is allows us to run a bark beetle program that operates in 11 counties so far, probably some more coming up, throughout the state that protects green pine trees, keeps pine beetles from spreading and moving, and does this by assuming we have money in the fire suppression account. If you go to page 2 of the bill, it kind of lays out what happens. It pulls $500,000 out of the suppression account that is subject to availability of funds on or after July 1st and on approval of the governor. So if we got a bad fire season, there is no funding, nothing happens with it. If not, this program kicks in. And kind of what this program's done, going back to 14, the first year, and we actually started in 12 on it, but 14 was when it really got rolling. And we came to you and said, we think we can keep a forest green. We kind of started up in the Black Hills where I live, and interestingly enough, the Forest Service is spending money now to try to figure out why the forest is brown on the South Dakota side and green on the Wyoming side. The only management technique we have at this point in time is we've thinned and used the bark beetle program on the Wyoming side. South Dakota has not been able to fund our level, and consequently, we have an arbitrary line drawn through a forest that one side's brown, one side's green. I'll leave it at that as far as how effective it is. It actually works. This program has worked. It's had a couple side shoots off us. That's kind of incredible. Our local sawmill operator will tell you that this has pretty much kept one mill operational in the Black Hills that wouldn't have been. Kept enough volume so that they could do it. We also had the sawmill in Saratoga has opened up in the middle of this and created a whole bunch of jobs that have been laid off and done. And we have a forestry program with the BLM in the state of Wyoming that at that point in time they were cutting no timber in the state of Wyoming, basically just on a haphazard basis. They now have a full-time forester position that's cutting logs. It's for the money that's been spent, which has been a grand total of about $3.9 million, it's probably one of the most effective job creators we've had dollar for dollar in the state. I can go on and on about it. Like I say, it's 11 counties. It works. It's effective. I'll stand for questions. Let's go home.
The question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Moniz's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 26, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 26 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 231. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 231, engrossed, firearm possession, allow felons antique firearms, sponsored by Representative Laux, an act relating to firearms, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chair.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Christensen, are you going to rise?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd move that when the committee whole rises to report, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 231, and to present that bill will be Senator Case.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I rise to enthusiastically support this fine House bill, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, what this does is define what an antique firearm is for purposes of for these weapons being possessed by felons, former felons, Mr. Chairman. Pardon?
Senator Case, I believe there's also a standing committee.
Be a great idea. If
amendment. Will the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Helped out these felons. That would be great, Mr. Chairman.
House Bill 231, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 2, line 10.
Senator Nethercott.
Mr. Chairman, I think it may be helpful for all if I explain the bill, perhaps.
Please do so.
Sure, and Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. So currently, under federal law, it is against... Sure. Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. To House Bill 231. So in order to explain the amendment and explain the bill in total, because they're the one and the same, under federal law, it is a violation of federal law for a felon to be in possession of a firearm except for antique firearms. And so what this law does is it provides clarification under Wyoming law that felons can possess antique firearms. So it's just consistency with federal law, because there's a lot of confusion about whether or not felons can possess these antique guns. So this provides that consistency. So if we go to page 2, line 9, That is the section that refers to the definition of firearm and refers to the federal code. Again, the definitions for an antique firearm are found on page 2, lines 17 and 18. So it's really important that we have that citation to federal code, because in the event that the feds change the law as to the definition of antique firearm, we want to make sure that that's always consistent with Wyoming law, so someone doesn't think that they can legally possess an antique firearm when maybe they can't. So we just want to make sure that there's consistency for our state law enforcement officers and our federal law enforcement. That's the purpose of this bill. That's the purpose of the amendment. I would move for the amendment. I call the question on the amendment and stand for any questions.
Question.
Okay. All those in favor of Senator Nethercott's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment to Senate file 231, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? No.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. It's House Bill 231.
Oh. My correction. Thank you. We'll do it once again. All those in favor of Senator Nethercott's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 231, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 231 has passed. Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 231, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 231 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 251. Will the reading clerk please read the bill? 152. Thank you.
House Bill 152, Engrossed, Search and Rescue Operations, sponsored by Representative Lindholm, an act relating to search and rescue operations, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 152, Search and Rescue Operations. And to present that bill would be Senator Anderson.
152, Search and Rescue
Operations. Mr. Chairman.
Would someone like to present it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nethercott will present the bill.
Thank you. Senator Nethercott.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. There is a standing committee amendment, Mr. Chairman. This time I'd like to move standing committee amendment number one to House.
No, there is no standing committee amendment. There is a committee of the whole amendment.
There is a committee of the whole amendment. You're correct. I knew I'd done something. Thank you, Your Honor. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would move.
We need to read that amendment. Will the reading clerk please read the amendment?
House Bill Number 152, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, to Engrossed Copy, Corrected Copy, page 1, line 2.
Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what this bill does, and what the amendment does, is it allows immunity for volunteers who are acting under the supervision of a sheriff's office for a search and rescue operation. Historically, there's been some challenges for some...
Senator Nethercott, would you please move the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 152.
Thank you.
We good? Everything cleared up. Anybody?
We're good.
Anybody?
Please continue.
Anybody? Favorable consideration of this bill. What it does is provides immunity to volunteers that are part of search and rescue operations. There's some question in the law about what immunity applies. This allows these volunteers to be placed under two statutory sections. One is as it relates to volunteer firefighters, and it also allows them coverage under the Governmental Claims Act and provides them the provision of defense counsel in the event they are sued as being a part of that search and rescue operation. the Committee of the Whole amendment actually amends the language that's found in the bill and corrects it and ensures that they actually still are protected under the Governmental Claims Act and continues to have them be included as individuals that can be covered through defense counsel from the Governmental Claims Act, and then also adds them to the definition for volunteer firefighter and provides immunity for that. With that, I stand for questions on the amendment and move for your favorable consideration.
Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Nethercott's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 152, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 152 has passed. Hearing the question, all those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 152, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill 152 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 56 engrossed, Mobile Homes Title Status for Permanent Foundation, sponsored by Representative Lindholm, an act relating to mobile homes, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Excused, Senator Agar. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 56, a mobile homes title status upon permanent foundation. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask it be read in at this time.
Will the reading clerk please read the amendment?
House Bill 56, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 4, line 10.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 56. And for an explanation of this bill and the standing and the deal, I'd either call on Driscoll or Boner. And but I guess I'm a co-sponsor, too. But which one of you guys want to do it? Okay. Mr. Chairman, this deals with the situation where people are caught in a catch-22, Mr. Chairman. They've purchased a mobile home. They want to put it on a home site, make it a home, and achieve permanent financing for that bill, Mr. Chairman, or for that mobile home. And now it's on a permanent foundation, but because it's still titled as a vehicle, the banks won't give them financing, Mr. Chairman. And so it's a crazy thing, but the clerks don't have any authority to give up the title. So this is just, it's a terrible little catch-22 when we heard persuasive testimony from someone that traveled all the way from up north to tell us about this situation. So what this bill does, Mr. Chairman, is create a way that the title can be surrendered and that this mobile home can now become a piece of real property affixed to a permanent foundation and become somebody's dream home, Mr. Chairman. So you can see on page, there is a standing committee amendment, and I would actually yield to Senator Nethercott because she came up with the standing committee amendment and conducted a little workshop on it and did some really good work. And she hasn't had that great of a day, and I think we should end with a big one.
Senator Nethercott, the floor is yours.
I think I've let everyone else have a great day today. The presentation of those previous two bills. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if we look at the amendment, it's very simple. It goes to page 4 and line 10. And the purpose of this amendment really is to provide clarity for the bankers and for the affiant who would be making this affidavit to the clerks that they are swearing under oath that there are no known security interests as it relates only and simply to the mobile home and not to the land that the mobile home has already been placed upon. Because at the time that an affiant would be surrendering this or providing this affidavit to the clerk, the mobile home has already been placed on a foundation and is already affixed to the land. So technically, the legal reality at this point is that it's part of the land. So it's kind of a unique situation procedurally. And so what this does is provides a simple clarification that in no way is the affiant representing that there are no security interests on the land. So for that, I stand for questions and move for your favorable consideration of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 56.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 56, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 56 has passed. Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, this is one of those great little bills that sometimes comes along that actually does people some real good. And I do commend the sponsor and all the sponsors and Senator Nennicott for helping to work out a lot of kinks in this as it worked along. But I think the committee was convinced that this is solving a real, fixing a real problem that people have as they move down the path to homeownership. I hope you'll support it and delighted to get on the road.
You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion all those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 56, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. The House Bill 56 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the bills. The desk. No more bills here.
Where are we ready to get out of here?
Chairman, you're on a roll.
Can we put that to a vote?
Well, I got something we can put to a vote. I move the center of the committee the whole rise and report, Mr. Chairman.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The motion is carried.
Will the reading clerk please read the Committee of the Whole report?
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 164, do pass. House Bill 111, do pass. House Bill 26, engrossed, do pass. House Bill 231, engrossed, do pass, amended. House Bill 152, engrossed, do pass, amended. House Bill 56, engrossed, do pass, amended. Senator Pappas, Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Committee of the Whole report is adopted. Reports from standing committees.
February 16, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill 276, engrossed, recording legislative and other meetings, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott, excused Senator Agar, Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill 98, LLC Dissolution Distributions, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Agar, excused, Senator Case, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon, Senator Burns, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred House Bill 64, engrossed, move over requirement, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer, excused Senator Agar, Senator Meyer, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred House Bill 96, engrossed, microbrewery permits, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott, excused Senator Agar, conflict Senator Case, Senator Case, Chairman.
Are there any messages from the House? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears my desk.
Mr. President, I have an extra special motion. I have to refer initially, before I make the motion, to Article 3, Section 15 of the Wyoming Constitution that says adjournment. Neither house shall, without the consent of the other, adjourn for more than 3 days, nor to any other place than in which the two houses shall be sitting. We'll be gone for more than 3 days, so the motion's a little bit different. That's nice. So with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate adjourn until 2 p.m., that's 2 p.m., Tuesday afternoon, February the 21st, and that the Senate specifically consent, begrudgingly, to the adjournment of the House until that same date.
Okay, announcements. Senator Coe.
Committee number 4 will meet Tuesday, February 21st at 12 o'clock noon in Jonah Room S-19 to continue work on House Bill 236, Engrossed School Finance Omnibus Education Funding, and remind my committee that we're having a work session at 8 o'clock that morning as well.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, your hardest working committee, Revenue, will be meeting upon adjournment. We'll go straight in there and get these three bills done. We're in Jonah Room S-19, and this is House Bill 11, Engrossed Discounted Cash Flow Implementation Process, House Bill 151, Cigarette Tax, and House Bill 119, Engrossed Senior Citizen Districts Use of Revenues.
Senator Barr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Joint Conference Committee number 1 will, for Senate, or excuse me, House Bill 113, will meet next Tuesday at noon in Room S-27 to discuss House Bill 113, Medicaid Waiver Program, Military Personnel.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet Wednesday morning, February 26th, 8 a.m., the Jonah Room S-18 to consider the following bills: House Bill 15, Engrossed Sex Offender Registration Fees and Penalties, and House Bill 197, Engrossed Marijuana THC Products Policy Reform Act.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet Tuesday. Are you waiting for the time? Should we start at 7, 7:30? 12 noon, Mr. Chairman. 12 noon in Jonah Room S-18. We're going to hear House Bill 222, Engrossed Background Checks, Access to Federal Tax Information, House Bill 266, Engrossed Study on Evaluation Requirements for Small Cities and Towns, House Bill 267, Engrossed LLC Corporation License Fees. And, Mr. President, I might add also, there are two committees that aren't on the list, the Select Committee on Tribal Relations and your Select Legislative Committee on Technology Process and Legislative Facilities. If you have any ideas for interim topics, please, me, I'll try to round those up, so get them to me by Tuesday sometime. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will not meet except on Thursday to discuss interim topics.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, will be meeting with a light committee from the House on Tuesday, February 21st, upon adjournment of both houses in Jonah Room S-27 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet Tuesday upon adjournment to hopefully negotiations and conference committee. I'm sorry, it'll be a meeting of the Joint Conference Committee on the budget on Tuesday upon adjournment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, it's been 6 weeks, or we got 2 short weeks left. I can tell from our work today we need a couple of days off. And for all of us, we're getting a little punchy. Come back, and we might want to scour those bills a little bit that we did today and scour those a little bit more on second and third readings and vote them appropriately on third reading. But with that, please be careful. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying vote how you think they should vote based on the merits of the bill. If they're not, let's get them fixed on second, third reading. But anyway, thanks for your hard work. It's been an interesting session so far. It'll continuing to be. It might be even more interestinger as we move along. Drive careful. Enjoy your time off. And Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, let's get out of here.
Yeah, the only thing I would add is safe travels to everybody. And been a hard 6 weeks. Go home, see your family, your constituents. Forget about all this if you can for 4 days, except for one thing. please, if you're interested in any CSG or NCSL or committee appointments, some of you have turned in your request, some have it. I'm going to try to start putting that together over this four-day break. And so please, you won't be able to hand them to me, so email me to them if you'd like to be on any of those special committees. With that, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The Senate is adjourned until 2 p.m. Tuesday, February the 21st.
Yay!